We have spent an entire year, and we'll finish the year, talking about ordinary people in the Bible. Ordinary people like you and like me, even though I've never been called ordinary. What God can do in them and through them is what our focus has been, because God then can work in and through us for his glory as well, right? And we want to impact the world. And I've been trying to break that down and show you how simple it is to impact the world. Now, we have spent this month entirely focused on the Easter story told from one perspective, from Mark's gospel. Ordinary people, many without names, except last week he had to ruin it and give a bunch of women's names. And they were all in there. And we think that to really have an impact, our name has to mean something to other people. That it's got to be popular or trending or something that's easy recognizable, right? Got to have a blog, got to have a podcast, got to have something. I love mistakes that are made in church bulletins. And I'm going to read to you one about a missionary that was visiting a church. You're going to laugh right away. I feel bad for her, but you're going to laugh right away. So give me a chance. This is out of some church bulletin, not ours. Bertha Belch. Oh, no. A missionary from Africa will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. It's called proofreading, right? Sometimes we think our name's got to mean something. It's got to be important. And, ooh, it's in the church bulletin. And even then, it can be a mess. You don't have to make a name for yourself or have it remembered to make an impact for God and his kingdom. You don't have to. It is a dangerous temptation in my profession. In my profession, constantly, I hear the same things over and over again. You need to write a book. Have you seen a squirrel try to write a book? Not going to happen. I am so distracted by everything that's going on. I have tried to sit and put stuff down that makes sense, and it doesn't. So I've given up. You should do a podcast, because I have a face for a podcast, obviously. I'm not going to do a podcast. None of that means anything to me. But you can have an impact and make, you don't have to make a name for yourself. All you have to do is share his story. His story about how he has impacted you, and then you tell someone else your story. We're constantly surrounded by people that we can do that to. How Jesus changed me, and if he can change you, how he can make the ordinary the extraordinary. And we wrap up our focus on Easter with Jesus having come back to life and then poof, appearing to two dudes that have no name and yet changed the course of history. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. In my Bible, it's italicized. Don't get caught up on that. You'll even see a little subtitle. We're not really sure whether this belongs in the manuscript. Who cares? It's there. And it fits with all the other stories. Now, by the way, Luke records the same story, gives names, gives details, tells you what they were eating, all this other stuff. Not hyperactive ADD Mark. Two verses. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see in today's story how Jesus will appear to us when we least expect it, when you're just wandering around, right? Verse 12, you're just walking along, poof, he appears. So are you ready? Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. Now, look at the verse. I'm going to show you the way that Jesus appears to us in our everyday life, all right? Because this is the resurrected Jesus, same guy that we got to deal with today. Poof, he appears. One of the ways is afterward. You may not think that's a big deal, but it is. He had already been somewhere to make sure that he appeared to someone else, the women that we talked about last week. And then he appeared to these two dudes. God is constantly on the move. So we'll hear a story about, oh yeah, Jesus appeared to us. And we're like, oh, why doesn't he do that to me? Quit worrying about how he appears to everybody else. Worry about the afterwards when he can appear to you. Now, his timing, God's timing is, this is a very fancy term, very theological, annoying. God's timing is annoying. Do you know why? He's not on my timing, right? Where was the lightning fire from the sky when I wanted him to torch those drivers yesterday? Nowhere. I needed him to be on my timing. And we constantly want God to be on our timing, right? We need him to appear when we need him to, but a lot of times it's simply afterwards. A lot of times we don't even realize that God was in the moment until afterwards. And then we realize that God was at work. The women at the tomb needed him in full glory, according to other gospel accounts. So when it says in this verse, he appeared to them in a different form, these guys needed him to be someone that looked just like them. They didn't even recognize him, which creeps me out. Who in the world am I going to run into today that it is Jesus looking like some dude that I don't even realize it's him? I don't know if he still goes about doing that or anything, but that's kind of weird, right? So that when my wife says to me the next time, who do you think you are, Jesus? I'll go, maybe, right? So that I can get my way. We don't know. These guys needed God to appear as someone who looked just like them. What Jesus do you need to appear to you? The compassionate, the understanding, the angry, the person that agrees with you politically. What God is it that you need to appear to you? But you have to understand something about this story. They didn't know it was him. So a lot of times the God that we think we need is not the God that shows up, right? He had to appear to them in different form. And would you even recognize him? They were, according to the verse, walking where? In the country. It's my kind of walking. I'm okay with that, except here, country means corn. When we moved into Van Wert almost 20 years ago now, I still remember my wife saying, do you want to live in the city or in the country? And I said, I only see a city. There ain't no country here. Because it's either city or nuclear wasteland. Nothing as far as the eye can see, right? It's crazy. But they were just walking in the country. They were minding their own business. They had somewhere to be. Oh, I got somewhere to be. I got to do this and I got to do that. And oh my goodness. And boom, zoom, 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 boom. They had things they had to get accomplished. They just wanted to go about their day. Now, have you ever been completely alone, satisfied in being completely alone, and then some dope shows up and just starts talking? Hey, how's it going? Right? Usually, I'm that dope. But here's the truth. Way deep down inside here, some 250 pounds down inside here, because there's still a lot of pounds to go after that, is an introvert that wants to be left alone. I want to be in the forest, walking in a circle. Leave me alone. Right? And then say, hey, how's it going? Some dude just walks up, just starts talking. Just leave me alone. And then God goes, hey. God, again, does not work on our timing, does he? He appears when we least expect him to. We didn't even ask him to show up. But suddenly, just appears. Now, the nice thing is, eventually they'll be able to see him clearly. So if you're frustrated with, where is God when I need him? He is right there. there. You just may not recognize him. You may have to look 6 months later and go, now I get what he was doing. Right? Now I can see him clearly. That's my entire life. So what do we do with that? When we're just wandering around, we're just walking around, minding our own business, God shows up. We learn to be the witness in that moment. We need to tell others about him. And here's my guess. We don't. We feel motivated to do it on a Sunday morning. I get paid to do it. But then throughout the week, we really don't. Or we know there's a moment where we can, and we get too nervous and scared, and we don't say anything. Because who wants to look like an idiot? We got to be witnesses. Verse 13. Mark. Luke literally has verse after verse after verse about the... I get it. Tell him I said hi. Being a witness for Jesus isn't... Here's what it's not. But here's what I was told all my life that being a witness for Jesus was. Oh, some of you are going to disagree so badly on this. Tell me later. Being a witness for Jesus isn't memorizing scripture. Oh, you can. And maybe you should. Right? Like my favorite verse from Psalms, better live on the corner of a roof of a house than inside with an angry woman. Right? Scripture. Memorize that one, fellas. Put a chair up on the roof. You all right, Doug? So, I was told all my life it's about memorizing scripture. Do you know how good I am at memorizing scripture? Nothing. Jesus wept. Nailed it. I've been told all my life, now you memorize scripture so that if they say, well, yeah, what about that? You got this one you can slide in there and go, oh, yeah. Nobody cares about scripture. They want to hear stories. Again, I'm not telling you not to memorize scripture. I've been told all my life to be an effective witness, you have to memorize scripture. Well, you know. Well, I'll just pass out tracts. Those are my favorite. Oh, you should have grown up in the 70s. All these tracts about dying and going to hell and seeing the devil. Yeah. In little cartoon form. Listen. If that changed your life, good for you. But passing out info doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be an effective witness. Now, just came to me. Listen, if you've got a book that explains who Jesus is perfectly in awesome form, the book that I'm reading right now, one of the books I'm reading right now is called A Moose and Men. Some dude that gave up his life in Hollywood and moved to Alaska. And doesn't have a clue what he's doing, and it's obvious. And every chapter ends with some biblical truth. Oh, I'll pass that book out all day long. That's not what I'm talking about, though. You know how many times I've been told in my life to have an effective evangelism program? We got to go every night and knock on doors in this town. That were great before cable TV. That were great before the internet. That were great before air conditioning. Because you know what everybody did every night? Not sit inside a sweat box. They sat out on the porch. They sat outside. I've been told that at my first church and here, not lately, that's what we got to do. And I've said no both times. Because in Kentucky, you get shot if they don't know who you are walking up to the door. And in this town, I didn't know anybody. You don't need to have those things to be an effective witness. Look at verse 13. What's the key to being an effective witness? They returned and reported it to the rest. God did something amazing in my life. I've got to tell you about it. Jesus just changed my life. I got to tell you about it. Now, honestly, if you call me or text me and say, hey, Jesus just appeared to me, I'll be like, take your meds, give me a call. That's not what I'm talking about. Man, God was working on me. God has done something to me. God has changed me. and you tell somebody else about your encounter with Jesus, you have become the most effective witness ever. It may never make the headlines. It may never make the poster. It may never make the book. It may never make the Hollywood movie of your life someday. All right? But he knows. He knows. And here's sometimes the challenge that I deal with. Do I have enough of a relationship with him now that he's working in my life in such an obvious way to me that I at least have one person that I can tell? And God's really working on me. Now, easy for me to say, I've got a microphone. I've been waking up this past week, and instead of focusing on how bad my body hurts, I've been trying to say, oh, I got another day. Okay, God. Because sometimes I think that I just think that I talk to God, but I don't really talk to him. Does that make sense? And I've been trying to be very deliberate. Minute number one, okay, God, you and me today. Does that make sense? So maybe I'll have a story to tell you somewhere down the road. Now, look at verse 13 again. These returned and reported it to the rest. Who's the rest? The 11 disciples that are still sitting in some room, right? Still afraid to peek the door open because Jesus has not appeared to them. They've heard enough stories about Jesus appearing to others that these super dudes, by the way, for those of us who know the story from Luke's account, do they believe these guys when they come and report it? You don't even have to look at Luke. Look at the rest of the verse. But they did not believe them either. The women from the tomb come tell the guys, they don't believe them. These two dudes from wherever they were in the country make their way to the upper room, tell the guys, they don't believe them. Why not? These are the bigwigs, man. These are the 11 disciples that are left, that he handpicked these guys. Why don't these super spiritual guys believe it? Because they're like you and me. It didn't happen to them. We'll believe it if it happens to us. But when it happens to somebody else, we're like, ah. Right? And we've got to be careful of the one Christian sin that is acceptable in our churches: pride. We are proudly humble. Pride. Well, if it didn't happen to me, right? We've got to be careful with that when people are telling us their God stories. You just celebrate it. If you want to have fun, get a group of kids together and say, tell me your God story. It's crazy the stories they come up with. And I have learned to just shut my mouth and go, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. But even with adults, sometimes I just have to see it from their perspective and go, okay. Sometimes we just simply have to see it firsthand. And but then we miss out on all that God is doing. So who are you more like this morning? Two guys just walking along, minding their own business. Jesus appears to them and then goes, boo. And whoop, disappears. And you're like, I got to tell somebody. I just met God. I just had a conversation with Jesus. Or are you more like the people that hear the stories about Jesus going, boo? I don't mind. Either way, we've got to give up our heart to God so that we can see him clearly and tell others about these encounters that we're having. That's all that it takes to be a witness for him. To see him clearly, to share his story and how it has changed us. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning. I'm going to ask you to ask God to examine your heart about where you need to repair your relationship with him. Sometimes it takes just coming down here, standing, kneeling, and letting us pray with you about that. Let's sing together. Hearts sing out to you this morning is people that have been transformed by you. Whether we recognized it in the moment or whether it's just real to us later on, may our hearts sing out to you. May we tell our story. There's so many different ways to do it now. Help us to defeat fear when it grabs a hold of us, from telling our story of how you've changed us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.